The UN says military leaders in Myanmar had genocidal intent in carrying out mass killings and gang rapes of Rohingya Muslims. UN investigators issued their final report Monday looking into the Rohingya crisis. They say Myanmar's commander-in-chief and five generals had effective control of operations and must face justice.
The U.S. Open unveils a new look for its 50th anniversary, but will a new champion hoist the trophy? Where the U.S. Open kicks off this week, and it presents a new look, the end of a five-year, $600 million renovation project. And the biggest change this year, the unveiling of a totally refurbished Louis Armstrong court for an event that expects to see about 700,000 people pass through during its 2 weeks.
The President of the United States has directed the State Department to investigate the, quote, large-scale killing of farmers in South Africa, the seizure of their land without compensation, what's known as expropriation. He appears to be responding to a Fox News commentator that claimed South Africa's president, Cyril Ramaphosa, had changed its constitution to allow it to evict white landowners with the purpose of redistributing it to blacks. President Ramaphosa's party has only proposed to change the constitution, but it hasn't done so yet. It needs parliamentary approval, and seizures are not underway.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's August the 28th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Thanks for being here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. Lots on the program today. We're going to give a couple of headlines, including the latest on the trade agreement, or at least the trade framework for an agreement with Mexico, and the latest on that coming up. A little bit later in the program, Google has created a new search tool to help veterans find jobs. We're going to be talking with the Google project lead at about 5:40 this morning in our second segment this morning. In our first segment, we're going to talk about home internet safety. Family Internet Safety Day was at Apt Electronics over the weekend. And Chad Taylor will join us momentarily from Apt to talk about technology. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Asian shares mostly higher today after the White House said it reached a preliminary agreement with Mexico on replacing the North American Free Trade Agreement. In Asia this morning, the Nikkei up about 14 points, just a fraction. The Hang Seng up about 0.25%. Shanghai is off about 0.25% this morning. In Asia or Europe, markets are generally higher, with the FTSE, the DAX, and the CAC all up about 0.25% to 0.5%. And here in the United States, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street a little bit later on this morning. Dow futures are up 29 points. NASDAQ futures are up about 0.25%. Yesterday, the NASDAQ went past 8,000 for the first time. It is below that this morning. It's about 75.82. Oil is trading at 69.11. which is up about 0.25%, or just about 0.25%, I should say. The story about Mexico now: Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland is cutting short her diplomatic trip to Europe to head to Washington for trade talks with the United States. She will fly to Washington today after the Trump administration in Mexico said that they have reached a preliminary accord to end the North American Free Trade Agreement and replace it. The administration still needs to negotiate with its third partner in NAFTA, Canada, to become part of any new trade accord. Without Canada, America's number two trading partner, it's unclear whether any U.S. trade agreement with Mexico could be possible. Spokesperson for Freeland says Canada will only sign a new trade deal that's good for Canada. And yesterday, the Mexican president suggested that he would not move forward without Canada on board either. This all requires congressional approval, and it's unclear whether or not that will happen. There is a clock ticking now, about 90 days, for all of this to get done before Congress can approve it. It's unlikely that Congress will be able to approve this before the end of this year. Also this morning, never get between a university and its trademarks. It's a lesson about a dozen of people learn every year when they unwittingly provoke the wrath of big universities and the lawyers that they hire to protect their mascots, slogans, and logos. Records gathered by the Associated Press show that some major universities send their lawyers after even slight perceived trades, threats to their trades, including brands sending flurries of letters. Schools say they're only defending themselves from merchandise counterfeiters, and others looking to exploit their brands for a potential gain. This, of course, highlighted now as most universities returning for the fall semester. And a U.S. judge in Seattle has blocked the Trump administration from allowing a Texas company to post online plans for making untraceable 3D guns, agreeing with 19 states and the District of Columbia that such access to the plastic guns would pose a security risk. Family internet safety, it is front and center this morning as kids head back to school. I mentioned colleges getting underway, but there's a lot to talk about when it comes to this, especially for younger kids and families that may not have a lot of technical know-how. This past weekend at Apt Electronics was Family Internet Safety Day, and we're happy to have with us Chad Taylor, Apt Electronics Technology Expert, to talk a little bit about this morning. Chad, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your event first. Who was there? What kinds of things did you talk about?
Yeah, we had some local law enforcement there kind of going over different things to look out for, you know, the threat landscape of what was happening around the U.S. and the world, what to do if you felt you were a victim of some sort of cybercrime. Just interesting things of what to look out for. Like, none of us have a cousin in Nigeria that's going to get, you know, it's got $9 million waiting for us. And, you know, the pop-up that you get, you know, if you call the phone number and you wire transfer, money to these people, you know, there is a small possibility that you can get some help from local law enforcement getting that money back if you do the right things in a very quick period of time. So all sorts of different things there. And then we had one of the founding members of Eero, Gabe Castle, with us, who kind of went over that networking device and what makes them special and what they're doing to help protect not only your network, but how you can set limits for kids and how you can ultimately just secure your home a little better.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about specific technology in just a few seconds here, but back to knowing your status. It is important, I think, to know whether or not right now, as we sit here, that we may have already been victims of some of these cyber crimes. Is that even possible?
Sure. I mean, I would bet that everyone at this point in time has got an email address and had it for a long period of time. You've been part of some sort of breach, whether it be a data dump, some sort of just random act. You know, everything and everyone has got their personal information out there. So, you know, if you go to the haveibeenpawned.com, you can put your email address in. You can see if you've been part of any type of breaches. Ultimately, with that, if you have and you haven't changed your password, change it. If you don't have two-step verification turned on, turn it on. You know, that's really the biggest two things that you can do to protect yourself. Really strong passwords, two-step verification, it may be a pain, but it will save your accounts in the long run. And then ultimately, create a junk email address. I have multiple email addresses. I have one literally just for spam.
Yeah.
And it helps, you know, keep my personal email address a lot clearer.
Yeah, yeah, I have one of those as well. And then the other thing, too, choose strong passwords. This is a thing that I just laugh every couple of months. There's a new story about how they found that somebody at a major corporation or a bank or even the president has had a password that's 123456. That's the important thing to do. What's the recommendation for passwords these days?
So I use a password manager, and I have for years. I know one password, and ultimately, most of my passwords are like 26 characters long. I just tried to log into one of my accounts, and I realized that, oh, wait, I kind of had that password manager take over that for me and had to look it all up, which was kind of a pain. But ultimately, with all the security that password manager offers me, it's well worth it. And then it just keeps me from forgetting passwords and having to reset, having the same password over and over and over again. At our Internet Safety Day, we talked to a customer who hadn't changed her password in 5 or 6 years. And I'm like, ma'am, you got to do that. You know, you got to change these passwords, you know, because ultimately people using the same password over and over again and people not changing their passwords, that's what helps lead to some of these breaches to more than just an email account.
The router is another part of this, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the specific technology, but there had been, I know I got an email maybe a couple of months ago that said I needed to restart my router. All my stuff is locked down anyway, but I was kind of dubious about whether or not that was a real email, that it was from the FBI or something. So how important is the router, and was that a real email about restarting routers?
Sure, that actually was real. So there was some breaches and some software that inside of routers that were compromised. Ultimately, what people don't realize, if they have a standard router at their home, it does require firmware updates. Just like our cell phones, just like our computers, manufacturers release software to help with security, to help with performance, so on and so forth. The downside is most people don't know how to do it, and even more people just don't do it.
Chad, hang on with us. We're going to continue with Chad Taylor this morning from Apt Electronics.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
We're back on the program this morning with Chad Taylor from Apt Electronics. He's a technology expert there. Chad, we were talking earlier about Eero, which is a new router system, getting a lot of high marks, big reviews online. This is the doorway to your home technology, is having the right kind of router, isn't it?
Correct. Got to have something good. Invest in your network. It'll definitely make your internet experience at home a lot better, especially as we add more and more and more devices onto our networks.
One of the things that a lot of people have problems with is when they have especially two levels in their homes and getting that internet signal from one to another. Based on the reviews of Eero, this is they seem to have accomplished a system here that works on all levels like this.
Yeah, I'll tell you, my family uses Eero and have for a couple of years now. We had a problem where my wife was losing cell phone signal on her side of the room. And she'd go over her data because she lost wireless. As soon as we put Eero in the house, that problem went away, and we were able to save some money by not going over on her data plans. But more importantly now, it's throughout my entire house. I have great coverage, and I've heard of customers who've just been miserable with coverage, and we put this in their home. Apt installers go out and install this hardware, and customers are happy.
That's one of the big things here is that a lot of these systems can be difficult for just a regular user to not only install, but to keep updated. You mentioned downloading the right firmware and make sure it's up to date. That's like one of the biggest challenge after this gets installed. How does this accomplish helping people with that?
This is about as easy as it comes. You literally have an app on your phone. It tells you what's going on. It helps you change your password on your network if you want to, your network name, turn on your guest access if you have friends coming over. I can pause my kids' internet access. But more importantly, I was just looking at my app and it said, hey, you got a system update available. And I almost made the mistake of clicking do it, then my phone would cut off and that would have been bad.
Chad, I love coming to Apt because I just get lost in technology when I'm there. Fall seems to be a cool time to talk about gadgets and gizmos, especially with people going back to school. What's hot right now?
Computers. I mean, computers, computers, computers. I mean, we've got a full assortment of PC. We've got a full assortment of Apple products. Bluetooth speakers for the dorm rooms. Don't forget the printers. A lot of colleges now, they don't let you print necessarily. An inexpensive printer for the dorm room is great. Mini fridges. We've got all sorts of fun stuff going on. Visit Dylan's Candy Bar. We just opened the Cave, which is our newest kind of mini store inside the atrium at Apt, and it's got a full line of pool tables and shuffleboard and ping pong and all sorts of fun stuff in there.
So you're telling me I could probably come and take care of my technology and build my man cave all at once?
You got it.
Chad, we mentioned earlier Family Internet Safety Day. Apt always has these events. What's coming up there at Apt that we should be aware of?
Yeah, so we've got my buddy Joey's Cruising for Awareness. This event, it was kind of the brainchild of one of the guys at the stores, and he's put this thing on now for the last couple of years. It's a charity car show and RC racing event. And when I say RC racing event, I'm not talking about these little cars. I mean, these guys can drive. That's out in our parking lot. It's a great afternoon of nothing but cars, and you know, even for the kids to come out and watch some of these really, really fast RC cars. All the proceeds that we raise for this goes to the For Autistic Kids Foundation. We've got an Oktoberfest event with Apt and Mila Appliances. You can register for that. It is free, but we do have a limited number of tickets. We've got a LG appliance event coming up, and we've got an NBA 2K18 event coming up. More information on that, on both of those events, you know, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can see all that fun stuff, or you can go to app.com/events to register and see what's going on.
Chad, we appreciate you being with us this morning. All the best to everybody out at Apt Electronics.
Thanks very much. Have a great day.
You too. Chad Taylor, Apt's technology expert. Again, their website is app.com. And Chad mentioned earlier, Have I Been Pawned? That website is haveibeenpawned.com. It's PWNED.com. You can find out if any of your email addresses have been compromised in a data breach. That's a pretty good tool. I'm putting in a couple of mine this morning as we talk.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Chicago startup PerkSpot, the maker of an HR tech platform, made headlines when it raised $50 million. Now the company says it's preparing to use the funding for serious growth, tripling its team of 40 over the next 2 years and moving to a new office in River North. The University of Illinois announced Monday a free tuition and fees program for admitted Illinois residents whose family income meets or falls below the state median. The program will launch in the fall 2019 for freshmen and new transfer students, and aims to keep more college students in state. And Allstate has acquired InfoArmor, an Arizona-based identity theft protection firm, for $525 million. InfoArmor's product is offered to employees as a workplace benefit and is used by more than 100 of the Fortune 500. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Google has created a search tool to help veterans find jobs. Many veterans and military spouses, as we've reported often on this program, face all kinds of challenges in finding work, transitioning to civilian life. As an example, one in three veterans have said that they experience underemployment, taking jobs below their skill level. Let's talk a little bit about this morning with Joy Shi, Google Project Lead. Joy, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
This is a pretty cool deal. I know you're just announcing it, it's just rolling out. Tell us about what Google has created here.
Sure. So we know that Google has always known that the search for a job is one of the most important searches that a person can do in their lives. And so last year we rolled out a job search tool where when you enter a Google query like jobs near me, you can actually find job postings from around the internet in your area all put together in one place on Google search. So this week we have announced a new aspect of that feature that is veteran specific. And that's because we know that for the roughly 250,000 service members who transition out of the military each year, many of them struggle with translating the skills, the valuable skills that they learned in the military to civilian life. So the feature that we've rolled out is when a user searches for something like jobs for veterans on Google, we will prompt them for their military occupation code, which is the occupation that they had in the military, which they may not know how to translate into civilian life. So, for example, a very large number of veterans had the military occupation code of 11B or 11 Bravo, which is very clear for all veterans, but for those of us civilians means infantryman. That's not something you can just put on to a job board website to look for jobs for infantrymen. But on Google search, that veteran can now enter 11 Bravo into the search box and discover occupations that might be right for them. So Google has put the machine learning and real veteran transition data into our algorithms so that when a veteran enters that search, we can tell them that given the skills that you gained in the military, you might be a great training specialist or administrative supervisor or construction supervisor or any number of relevant occupations to help these veterans transition back into civilian life.
This is very cool, I think, because it takes away not only some of the work that veterans have had to do to find some of these jobs, but it sort of takes some of the mystery out of it as well. And also some of the hopelessness, because when you search day in and day out and can't find things, you just become hopeless after a while. So this takes a lot of that out of that.
Absolutely. I think that with the job search, anyone, veterans or non-veterans, really struggle with the emotional aspect and just the difficulty of finding jobs that might be a good fit for you. So anything that we could do to take a little bit of friction, make it a little bit easier for people, can make a big difference.
Part of this, too, is not only having, you know, the search engine run this, but I'm guessing you're trying to get employers to add this to their websites as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So this week we also launched a feature where employers who have their career sites powered by Google Cloud's talent solution can do a very similar search. So employers like FedEx, PepsiCo, CareerBuilder, and Getting Hired, when you go on their websites, you can also do a similar search.
Joy, are there employers that do a better job of hiring veterans than others, and how is Google trying to sort of corral them all together in this effort to help veterans?
Well, for here, for a feature like this, you actually, the employer itself doesn't actually have to specify anything for the job. We do the hard part of translating the job requirements into kind of making that connection between the job requirements and the actual job posting to make it easy for veterans to find. We do actually, we did announce another aspect of our feature, which makes it easy for those veterans who transition to civilian life in the form of business owners. So for veteran-owned, veteran-led, veteran-founded businesses, we made another announcement that they can place a veteran-led attribute and associate that with their business on Google Maps and Google Search, so that for consumers of businesses or people looking for businesses to hire, it's very easy for people to support veteran-led businesses, too.
I was reading that, I want to say later this year or perhaps next year, there's going to be a new influx of veterans into the workforce. What is it that's happening that we're going to see this influx of all these new veterans coming into the workforce?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that trend.
Okay. I think what I read was that 250,000 U.S. service people are expected to transition out of the military and back into civilian life starting, I think it was starting in 2017 and continuing through next year. So a lot of veterans coming each year into the workforce. Do you have any more statistics about how they're doing in the job search, in the workforce hunt these days?
Yeah, absolutely. You had already mentioned that about one in three veterans of that number end up taking jobs well below their skill level. Another unfortunate statistic is that about 44% of veterans actually leave their first post-military job within a year, often because they either didn't feel like the job was the right fit for their skills or because they struggled to find a sense of purpose in their job. And that's where we're hoping will really help with this feature, is with that skills match component.
Joy, this is amazing technology, and it shows where we're going. Give us a sense of where the technology is heading, not just with this program, but with others as well at Google. I know you mentioned this AI and some of the machine learning here. Where are we headed with this?
You know, we just want to help people on the most important search journeys of their lives with whatever data that we can gather. So in this situation, the way that we developed this feature was by dumping a lot of training data about real veteran transition, because people come with this giant problem of, what am I going to do with my life? How do I get back into civilian life? And we just tackle that problem step by step with the data that we're able to get. We actually worked with the United Service Organizations, which is an organization that helps veterans transition. Part of what they do is help veterans transition back into civilian life. And we developed the feature in tandem with them. So we kind of combined the data that we were able to find in machine learning technology that Google is fantastic at, and that people element, because we went over to the USO offices and said, this is our prototype, can you try it out? And then a week later, we would iterate on our prototype and then have them try that out over time until we got something that worked, combining that data and people element.
Well, Joy, this is amazing stuff. We appreciate you being on this morning. Thanks to Google for caring so much about our service folks. And we will make sure people know how to do this. And we'll put a link in our podcast of this program a little bit later on this morning.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for having me.
Joy Shi, Google project lead, Google creating a new search tool to help veterans find jobs. Again, the link will go into the podcast of The Opening Bell a little bit later on this morning.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a positive open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up 22 points right now. NASDAQ futures are up about 12. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. What a busy day on the farm news front yesterday with the U.S.-Mexico trade agreement. But then in the afternoon, USDA announced details of its farm aid package, said it would include $4.7 billion in direct payments to farmers to help offset losses from retaliatory tariffs on American exports this season. And the bulk of the payments, $3.6 billion would be made to soybean farmers. That amounts to $1.65 per bushel, multiplied by 50% of expected production. And some of the other numbers, payments for hog farmers will be $8 per pig, and dairy farmers will receive 12 cents per hundredweight of milk production. The sign-up for the program will begin September 4th to coincide with the 2018 harvest, and it will end in January. Crop condition reports, not much difference. The U.S. corn crop reported 68%, good to excellent, same as a week ago. Soybeans, 66%, good to excellent. That's up from 65% a week ago. And 10% of the U.S. corn crop is now mature and safe from frost. It was a good day for the livestock producers yesterday. We saw a limit up on the December lean hog contracts. It was not a good day for grain producers. Corn, wheat, and soybeans all ending the day lower. We hope the weather will let us travel by Air Orion, and if so, we'll see you in Boone, Iowa for the Farm Progress Show today. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You too. A couple of stories before we leave you this morning. Amazon is paying workers to defend the company on Twitter, reassuring critics that they make enough money to live and are taken care of, and that they're even allowed to take bathroom breaks. The tweets are part of Amazon's plan to combat negative headlines and online chatter about poor working conditions at its warehouses. Amazon says the ambassadors, as they're being called, are not told what to write, while some on social media have been skeptical of their cheery messages and called them bots. The company did not say how many workers it has enlisted for the program or respond to a request to interview some of them. Uber is teaming up with Toyota to build self-driving cars for its ride-hailing service after its efforts to do it alone were derailed by allegations of theft and a fatal collision. Toyota is also investing $500 million in Uber as part of the alliance that was announced yesterday. The deal will aim to combine the best features from the two companies' work on autonomous vehicles into cars that will be picking up Uber riders starting, according to this story, in 2021. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday, August the 28th. We'll get a report on international trade in goods coming. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Home Price Index is due out today. A report on consumer confidence, the Richmond Fed Manufacturing Index is due, and the State Street Investor Confidence Index also due. Earnings, a lot of earnings today. Best Buy, H&R Block, and Tiffany all coming out today. Sales First and Brown-Forman tomorrow. Abercrombie and Fitch, Campbell Soup, Lululemon and Dollar Tree on Thursday. And then on Friday, we'll see the Eurozone unemployment data released for July. So a busy day today. Lots of things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, August the 28th.